Hello, Honey Ridge. It's been a privilege to be able to enjoy some of the lockdown devotions over the past couple of weeks, and it's exciting for me to be able to share what the Lord has put on my heart for this morning. I think lockdown has been a great opportunity to spend time on things that I've put on my list of things that I want to do but generally don't have time for. And as an ADHD adult, here are some of the things that I've been working on. I've been learning how to juggle five balls, to renovate my kitchen and cast custom concrete countertops. I've been finishing reading Arnold Dallimore's biography on Spurgeon. I intend to tidy my workshop, to cut down several trees around the house, to explore a new Lego robotic set, and repaint my lounge. And so far, I haven't finished any of them, but we have at least 2 weeks of lockdown left, so I remain hopeful. Amidst the busyness of my newfound time to do all the things that normal life doesn't allow for, one of my greatest struggles is the discipline to keep my routine. Time in the Word of God, at the very least, and I know that if I start my day's activities without spending time in the Word, or if I haven't done so before my 6-month-old daughter wakes up, it's game over for quiet time. I don't know what your routine looks like, or what your struggles are, or what your distractions are. But I do know that I'm not alone in my lack of discipline in prioritizing time spent in the Word. For me, it's generally a matter of going to bed earlier and forcing myself to wake up earlier, but that's easier said than done a lot of the time. But another thing that I do know is that when I do get into my quiet time, the greatest struggle is yet to be had, and that is the disciplining of my mind. I think Grant's devotion from yesterday was a great primer for today. Set your mind on things above, looking at Colossians 3. Today, I'd like to have a look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, for some practical guidance on how and why we should be doing this with mindful intent. So, what is your mind set on? Let's read through Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And while this is only two small verses inside a vast sea of theological wonder, there's a lot we can pull out of it, so let's practically break this down a bit. Therefore, in light of what Paul has just written before, the therefore is there, and Clinton has unpacked throughout the last year a huge amount of that, detailing the awesome righteousness of God, the wrath of God against the unrighteous, the terrible state of our sinfulness, the wonderful news of the gospel, and its relevance and application to both Jews and Gentiles. And this is the kind of response that we should adopt. I appeal to you, or in the NIV it says, I urge you. Why should we be called to or appeal to or urge to do something unless there was some definite reason for our need to be urged? Paul knows that we are inclined towards spiritual apathy. He addresses us as brothers and sisters, and in so doing includes everyone who's been called to faith in Christ. By the mercies of God, or in the NIV, in view of God's mercy, and this is the reason for the call to our response. God's merciful engrafting of us as Gentiles, without claim of hope as the Jews had, despite an impossible law, into God's family tree. To present, or to offer from the NIV, your bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul means that the will is to be master over the body. The thinking of our age says that our body must tell the will what to do. But the Bible says that our will must bring the body as a living sacrifice to God. The body is an excellent servant, but a terrible master. Keeping it at God's altar as a living sacrifice keeps the whole body where it should be. And the reason for this is clear, because Paul has just told us. But the actioning of what this looks like may not be, which he addresses in verse 2. Which is holy and acceptable or pleasing to God. Here's the why. We respond to his mercy by living to please him. And this is our spiritual act of worship. And the what was really interesting for me to find when I was researching this was that the ancient Greek word used here for spiritual, which is logikos, which also is used in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, can be also translated as of the word, and is also the root word for our word of for logic. So our act of spiritual service is a life of worship according to God's word, which is applied through our willful and disciplined mindfulness. Okay, Paul, we understand this, but how do we even start to live our lives in this way? And this is where things get practical. We are being encouraged, in response to God's mercy, to live our lives as living sacrifices to please God, which is our act of worship, by not conforming to the standards and thinking of this world, through the renewing of our minds. Back to verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. We are called to be round pegs in a world of square holes, not following along with the world in its values, pursuits, worries, and anxieties, for we know that this leads to death and destruction. Instead, we are called to the opposite. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Does this happen by some sort of spiritual osmosis? Does God, the Holy Spirit, work like some extreme makeover program where you go away for a weekend and come back looking like a spiritual celebrity? No. Our transformation starts with the intentional dedication to filling ourselves with the Word of God. But in what way is this to be done? That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. Control system engineers spend much of their time working on automating processes and optimizing efficiency and safety by the use of control loops. A control loop generally has what is called a process variable and a desired set point. The aim of a control loop is to get the process variable as close to the set point as possible. A simple example of a control loop is a kettle, where the process variable is the start temperature of the water, and the set point is to get the water to boil, so 100 degrees Celsius. If we start with hot water, then the kettle only has to heat the water for a short time to get the water to boiling point, whereas if the water is very cold to start with, the kettle has to heat the water for a longer time to get it to boil. In order for this to work, the kettle needs to know at the very least when the water is at boiling temperature so it can turn off the element. It needs a way of testing the temperature of the water and then a thinking process which allows it to make a decision on when to turn off the heater element. And without this, the kettle will at some point most likely boil dry, destroy itself, and start a fire. So if Paul was an engineer, he would have probably equated the Word of God as the defining guidebook for our desired set points across all the control systems of our lives. But how do we know what our life's process variables are, and what do we use to take our measurements? How else will we know how to test and approve what God's will is, but to be saturated with His Word? And Paul knew exactly what he was saying when he wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 4, in verses 11 and 12. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The practicalness of this is profound. We are to use the Word of God as the standard by which we continually test ourselves against the patterns of this world, and against this we are to adjust our course of action. Then we can start, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to be able to know what is good and acceptable and perfect. Look at how the psalmist in Psalm 119 sets his mind on the Word of God. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. A paraphrase of what the psalmist is saying could look like this. When I apply my mind to your word, which I love, it allows me to outsmart my enemy, which is worldliness. Nobody can give me more insight than your word, because your word is the perfect teacher. Similarly, in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It is my prayer that this brief delve into the Word will give us a renewed focus and intentionality to fully apply our minds to His perfect and glorious Word. Some reflection questions to part with as we go into this day. How much time am I devoting to development of my Christ-like mind? Am I being lazy in my study of God's Word when I do spend time in it? Am I thinking of whatever is true and noble and good, or the opposite? What am I doing to fill my mind with such things? And how much secular media am I exposing myself to versus time spent in the Word, reading good Christian literature, which will help to transform my mind? Let's pray. Our glorious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to spend in your Word. We thank you for the incredible hope and confidence that we have in you, which is our peace at this time when the world is in turmoil. Let it be true of us that as we live our lives with the intentionality of being constantly transformed, corrected, warned, and encouraged by the Word of life, as we delve deeper and deeper into your complete and perfect Word, may our lives be characterized by dedicated and thoughtful study, committed to filling our minds with the greatest and truest words of all the all-powerful Creator and Sustainer of all things. Help us to think about such things, that we may live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. Amen.